Welcome to the Pulpiteer Podcast, an online audio ministry of Pastor Andy Kroll and Carson City United Methodist Church. You can visit us on the web at www.carsoncityumc.org, or you can visit my blog at www.thepulpiteer.com for more sermons, Bible studies, and other writings.
Micah is another one of those minor prophets, and it's, if you find Jonah, it's right to the right of Jonah, it's towards the back of the Old Testament. I'm going to read from Micah chapter 5, and verses 2 to the first part of 5. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor is brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. Would you bow your heads again with me, please? Merciful Heavenly Father, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, would be an acceptable sacrifice to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So we are in, again, the fourth week of Advent, and we are in this time thinking about hope, and hope is born, and our hope is in God, and hopefully you're picking up on that, that our hope is in the Lord. And today we're going to think about how, if our hope is in the Lord, it's helpful to know, okay, maybe some of how God works. Well, God works in surprising ways. God works in ways that are different than the ways we may choose. And some of the things I was thinking about in doing this is two of our readings for today out of the lectionary. The one was the one I read. Another one was from the book of Luke, where Mary gives that song of praise. In Mary's song of praise, she talks about God raising up the lowly and bringing down the mighty, raising up those who are kind of poor and cast off. In Micah, he talks about, but you, Bethlehem, you're one of the little clans. And so that God is doing this work in this little place, this unexpected place. You'd think maybe it would be, you know, the big capital city that God would decide to work out of. But no, it was this little clan of Bethlehem. You'd think that God would be favoring the rich and the powerful. But no, it wasn't that. It was God raising up the lowly. God works in unexpected and surprising ways. So today we're going to think about how God surprises us and how God surprises us just in the fact that his ways are different than ours. Advent is a time of expectant waiting, and the prayer that's in your bulletin in the sermon notes, that's about expectant waiting. It's the one about grant us the grace to put off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light. Now in the time of this mortal life when Jesus came in humility, so that when he comes in his glorious majesty, we may be raised to eternal life. It's waiting. It's remembering how he came before and waiting expectantly for Christ to come again. And as we wait expectantly, we need to have our eyes open then to maybe the ways that God does work. Because the fact of the matter is this, when Christ came 2,000 years ago, it caught people by surprise. The Jewish people have been waiting a long time for a Messiah, but they didn't expect this when he came. God works in surprising ways. So that helps us as we think, well, sometimes the things that God is doing are different than the things that we want or the direction we're going. Because we can have our own direction, right? We can be going in a certain direction. We can know what we want and what we desire. And I was thinking about wanting and desiring and thinking about, you know, it's Christmas time, so we get things that we want and desire. And I apologize now for what I'm about to show you because it's going to cause some of you, probably many of you, to commit the sin of envy as I show you this little beauty. Again, I'm sorry, because this is, you're going to have to pray. Does anybody know what this is? It's an Atari 2600, right? Oh, yes. The Atari 2600. From the years 1980 to 1982, this was the thing to have. Of course, And I know that Pong was the big one, but then there's also Pac-Man. You got the Pac-Man picture, right? This was my grandpa and grandma Phillips's Atari 2600. And Grandma Phillips was the best Pac-Man player ever. She was a master. She could destroy all of us grandkids at Pac-Man. I was thinking of this. This is kind of funny. We get to, as we get into Christmas season, we get these, you know, we really want some. I mean, when we were a kid, I don't anymore, but like you really want a gift, right? And you think, yeah, this will complete me, right? If I have this, I will be okay. If I only have, and it's funny because like this, the Atari 2600, at one point in time, if the year were 1981, and the Atari 2600 showed up under your Christmas tree, it would be a banner year, right? Now, it's funny how like 27, 28 years changes everything. Because for the kid waiting for the Xbox 360, if you get the old Atari 2600, major disappointment, right? Like, what is this? I design games like this at school, right? It's just kind of funny how sometimes our hearts, desires, and hopes, sometimes with a span of time, change. It wasn't maybe as important as we thought it was. I was just thinking about that as I was thinking about, because Christmas is a time sometimes where we think about the stuff we want, the stuff we desire, the gifts that we want. And sometimes we can treat God in a sense of, well, we really want these gifts from God. And we have a good idea of what we want. We're good at picking what we want, what we think ought to happen, and we can kind of plan things out that way. Sometimes, well, if you've followed Christ long enough, you've probably realized that there are many times where the gifts that God gives you are not exactly the things that you were looking for, right? I mean, has that happened to you? Like, I didn't plan on going down this direction, Lord. I had something else in mind, right? I thought I was going to be a teacher for 30 years. Like one of those things. Because that stuff happens. And then all of a sudden you're in a different place. And there's a quote from Bishop Will Willimon, who used to be a professor at Duke. He wrote this in this Advent reader that I'm reading through. This is so often the way God loves us. With gifts we thought we didn't need, which transform us into people we don't necessarily want to be. I really like that quote. This is the way that God so often loves us. With gifts that we thought we didn't need, which transform us into people we didn't really want to be. God's ways are different than ours. I was thinking about this because I was thinking about and God's gifts being different than our plans. Because I was thinking about these minor prophets. There's 12 minor prophets at the end of the Old Testament. Zephaniah, that we read from last week, is one of them. Micah is one of them. And they prophesied during very difficult times. So like Micah was prophesying to the southern kingdom. Remember, there are two kingdoms of Israel. There was the one, the northern kingdom they called Israel, the southern one they called Judah. Micah was prophesying in Judah during the time when a nation, a people called the Assyrians, were in charge. And they were the big bad guys that were beating up on the little countries. And a stressful time, the Assyrian army was brutal and merciless. And so as the Assyrians are knocking on the door, Micah's prophesying. And these minor prophets, they all did something like that was going on for almost all of them as they're going through stuff. Hard times. So the Jewish people, they're wanting something. They really, what they want, they either want, you know, we wish our king was better, was a better leader, and or we wish the bad guys would just be gone, right? I mean, can you relate to that? Like this big threat is out there, and can you just take care of that? We just want that gone. And a lot of times the messages that they received through these prophets were not exactly the gifts that they had hoped for. One of the messages they had received from the minor prophets, and this was never a really popular one, this bad thing that's happening to you is a judgment of God because you haven't been faithful. That wouldn't be a real popular thing, right? That wouldn't build your church into a mega church, saying that sort of thing. And then the other thing they would say is, God is going to raise up somebody to take care of this someday. Now, if you got the Assyrians knocking on your door, is that what you want to hear? Like, well, no. How about yesterday bringing that person around, right? And so the gifts, the things that we want, our plans tend to be different than God's plans. God tends to have different things in mind. So as he speaks through Micah, they hear something different than maybe they'd planned on. I was thinking about this as, and then I was wrestling with Hebrews 11. And there's three verses out of Hebrews 11 that I want us to think about as far as God's ways being different and how things come from God. The first one is verse 13. All of these, Hebrews 11, by the way, is this list of these faithful people. It's an amazing, impressive list. And then in two different points, it says something like this. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. The promises that were given in the Old Testament ultimately found their fulfillment in whom? Jesus, the right answer in church. Okay, right? All of the promises in the Old Testament ultimately found their fulfillment in Jesus. So, if you think about that, Micah, who's prophesying about the one that's going to come from Bethlehem, died before that happened. But they saw and greeted them from a distance. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on this earth. See, part of the problem is we were made for something different than the way the world is that we live in. Yet all of these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. So that second part gives us something else. It's not only that it was further in the future for them. For us, we found our fulfillment in Jesus. But the Christmas message is this. Sometimes it's like, hey, God, I think I need this, this, and this. And the message is this. You get a baby in a manger. And sometimes we think, well, that sounds nice, but is it what I need? But Hebrews is telling us God provided something better. God provided something better. So with Micah, they wanted a powerful Savior. They wanted someone mighty. But they hear a different plan about God raising up someone from a tiny clan. Which is strange. It's not exactly what they had in mind. They wanted some mightiness all around this. And then they hear about this little village of Bethlehem. Think about it this way. I'm so proud of myself. I thought about this right in the midst of the first sermon. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like us receiving, you know, we expect a mighty Savior. So we think maybe they'll come from Washington, D.C. But imagine if the word came, but you, O Matherton, you are little among the clans, right? That's pretty local, isn't it? Pretty cool, Pastor Andy. Good job. Right? So Bethlehem, this little place, unexpected. Like, who would have thought of Matherton, right? Now, Bethlehem has a history, though. Do you remember whose hometown Bethlehem was? King David, right? Do you remember David's story? Samuel was going to go anoint the next king of Israel, and he goes to this guy named Jesse. He has him assemble his sons. Jesse lines his sons up. They're strong, good-looking, handsome, right? And you look at any of them, you think, oh, that's a king right there. And he goes through, and each one, as he goes up to him, and it's kind of like, is this the guy? And God says, no. And he goes down the line, and he finally gets to the end, and none of them are the guy. And he says, Jesse, is this it? Because none of these guys are the guy. He says, no, this is it. Go through again. And no, none of these guys are the guys. That's it. Yeah, no, this is all my sons. Well, but I don't think this. Well, I guess there is the David, our youngest, the shepherd, right? David wasn't even on their radar when they said line up the guys who might be king. David didn't even occur to them, right? But who's the one God picked? David. There's a lot of times God does things that way, things that aren't even on our radar. That's the direction God's going. God raising up the lowly, God taking the least, God doing the things that are unexpected, God working in surprising ways. So God surprises us with gifts, ones we often don't think we need, and turns us into people that we didn't always want to be. Consider Jesus' arrival. With Jesus' arrival, they wanted somebody who could kick the Romans' butts, right? That's what they wanted. With the Jewish, they wanted Israel to be a free nation. They wanted a butt-kicking divine warrior, and they get a baby in a crib. They want a warrior, they get a carpenter / preacher. They want a conqueror, they get a crucifixion. You know, they wanted a free nation. And instead they find out that God is redeeming all of humanity, all nations. God is doing something very different, in a very surprising way. It's kind of like having your heart set on an Atari 2600, and meanwhile God is bringing forth a new humanity. It's like not even in the same ballpark. God has something better in mind, something different in mind. God surprises us. And the hopeful thing is, just like Hebrews says, that God does have something better in mind. I mean, if you think about it, the Jewish people expecting just their country to be free, but God had something so much bigger than that. He had a resurrection in mind. He had eternal life in store. He had a whole new heaven and earth that he was working towards. God's agenda was to offer forgiveness and reconciliation, resurrection and eternal life. So maybe this should tell us something. Our agendas might be off. Our desires might be towards things that aren't necessarily where God would have us go. Our agendas might be off. Our hopes might be off. Now, part of the reason they might be off is because they might be too affected by the world. We might be valuing the same things that the world values. The world values fame and power and that sort of thing, but that affects us, right? As with this whole Tiger Woods in the news thing, it just makes me sad. Has fame and fortune helped anybody's marriage ever? My goodness. And yet, in our culture, we think, yeah, fame and fortune are the way to go. But it destroys more people than it seems to help, doesn't it? Or is that just me? And then the guy can hit a golf ball amazing. So we treat him like a god, tell him he's the best of whatever, and then are surprised when he acts like he can do anything he wants. I mean, not that he has no responsibility, but it's messed up, isn't it? Maybe the culture values the wrong things. But here's the scary thing, is sometimes the church values the wrong things. Do we ever value power and money and fame? Oh my goodness. You know, I saw Alec Baldwin on TV this week, and I thought of his brother Billy, if you are familiar with Billy Baldwin. He's a born-again Christian, which is wonderful, and God bless him. But he's a goofball. I mean, he's nuts. But he's like got a speaking tour, and he's written books, and we listen to him. Why? Because he's an actor. Not because he has anything intelligent to say theologically, but just because he's a famous actor. That's weird, right? That's valuing the exact same things the culture values. So when a Super Bowl quarterback, and he may be a wonderful guy, writes a book, maybe there's other people we need to listen to. I don't know. I'm worried that we value the same things. Maybe our agenda's off because we value the wrong things. Another reason our agenda may be off, maybe we value good things. Sometimes there's good things that we want. But maybe God, like Hebrews says, has something better. We have to allow for the possibility that God sees the big picture that we don't, right? So Andy has to provide some space that maybe the eternal God that created everything knows more about what ought to happen than I do. I have to allow for that possibility sometimes, right? So with those things being said, with our agendas being off, then if we are the people of God, we need to expect God to work in those strange and surprising ways. Maybe in ways that aren't even on our radar. So what I would like for you to do this week, we're in Christmas week, right? And everything's like going, do you feel it like picking up and going full steam and it's like getting busier and you got plans and you got to go here and there and everything's just going. But what if sometime this week, if you just took some time to look in weird spots to see if maybe God is still working today in surprising ways. I mean, the culture is going to value like how much money we spend and how many returns there are on the 26th, and did you get the stuff you wanted, and did you see the people you're supposed to see, and all this busy. I mean, the culture will value that, and that's fine. And have fun, it's not that, but could you make room in your lives to just look for those surprising ways in which God may visit us? Because when it comes down to it, Christmas is about God visiting us. And God tends to visit us in surprising and unexpected ways. I'm going to give you three stories, close on three short examples of surprising ways that I've seen the risen Christ. First one happened, they're Christmas stories kind of. The first one happened, I've shared with some of you before at least. A few years ago, I was in seminary, and we came up, and we were at a Christmas Eve worship in Portland, Michigan, right? The bustling metropolitan area of Portland, Michigan, right? And it's in big city. And we were there singing Christmas Eve stuff, and in the midst of that, I remember, with the Christ candle being lit. Now, the Christ candle, the big white candle here. and it was lit. And the Easter before, I'd gone through my first Tenebrae service, and that's where it gets darker. We had one of those this Good Friday. And in the Tenebrae service, the Christ candles put out to signify the death of Christ. And then the cool thing is, on Easter Sunday, the Christ candle is lit again because Christ is alive. Really cool thing, really connected with me. And it was unexpected, and we're singing, and I look up front in the middle of the Advent wreath, and there was the Christ candle, and it was lit. And this weird thing, very simple thing, right? Just a big white candle. And it just hit me. Jesus is alive, and he's here. And it was crazy. Unexpected, just a white candle, and it just hit me. And I've done things to try, you know, you do things to try and appreciate Christmas, and you try and force things in and to read the right things. And all it was just a simple candle that reminded me of Easter, that Jesus died and was raised again, and in that I have hope. And in the midst of singing this Christmas carols, like the, sounds cheesy, the true meaning of Christmas hit me, and I felt hopeful. God really is with us. Wow. There was no like pyrotechnics. It wasn't a big fancy service. It was just a Christmas Eve service. But in the simple, in the ordinary, in a candle, there was Jesus. Next one. Thursday, caroling. So we have this great turnout caroling. We go to the Laurels, and we did some other things. We went to the Laurels. And in the Laurels, you have everybody from like people recovering from surgeries to people who are just trying to get back to and go home to some people that are going to be there for a long time and some people who are suffering from things like dementia or Alzheimer's where they're just totally losing it, can't care for themselves. And as we sang to all sorts of people in all sorts of that range, and as we were singing, some of the folks we sang to were not like super responsive people because they'd been kind of losing bits of themselves. If you've been with someone through Alzheimer's or dementia, you know how that works. They lose bits of themselves as they go. They become less and less responsive. But what do you think happened for some of those unresponsive people when they heard those familiar Christmas carols? What do you think they did? Start to sing along, right? And you know this if you've seen someone with dementia. Sometimes it's like those things, like those old songs, and it breaks through the fog, and they started to sing too. Their lips started to move too. And I remembered the one who made the mute to speak. I remembered that on the other side of death is a heavenly chorus. And in the Laurels of Carson, of all places, with people who are sick or who need care, in the midst of these folks, I saw Jesus. And I was hopeful because Jesus was there and God was with these folks, and it was just such a blessing to be there. Hopeful for the sick. And then on Friday night was just another, such a blessing. The Blue Christmas service. If you're at a Blue Christmas service, it's because you have a significant enough loss or hurt or something is heavy enough that you would gather together during Christmas time. I mean, something has to be going on. There was about 20 of us gathered together. And so we sang and prayed and did some scripture and devotion, and there was a time where people went up to light candles, and you lit a candle for a loss that you'd had or for a person that you were remembering that wasn't there. And so, you know, folks went up and lit candles, and there's these candles up on the altar, each one of them signifying somebody's heartache, right? And there we were, 20 of us gathered together because we were hurting, but we weren't brought together just because of the hurt. We were brought together because we believed that there was somebody who could address that hurt. We came there in the hopes of meeting the person who was bigger than death. And so there we were gathered, remembering and praying to and hoping for the one who had defeated death. And I swear I saw Jesus Friday night. With those people who were hurting and mourning, there he was saying, "You're not alone. I'm here. And it was hopeful. It was hopeful because even in the midst of that hurt, God is with us. And these things, these three simple things, these surprising ways, they give me hope. Because if God will go to the simple and the ordinary, if God will go to those who are sick and infirm, if God will go to those who are mourning and full of sorrow, if God will go there, then maybe he really is serious about redeeming all of humanity. Maybe he really does want to clean out all of me. If God will go there, that gives me hope. that maybe you don't have to have your life all together to see Jesus this Christmas season. In fact, God seems to hang around the really messed up, broken people. That's where he seems to go. Because those are the people who know how to say, help me. That's where he seems to be. And that gives me hope that the people who cry for help, God is going to be there. God is going to be there. That's a hopeful thing, that if God will go there. So my hope for you is this, that you will keep your eyes open for those unexpected ways that God visits us. It's not always the ways we'd expect, but ultimately they're hopeful things, that God came to be with us in our humanity, not apart from it, which means that he's really serious about loving you and about fixing you and about meeting you exactly where you need to be met. May you have that hope this Christmas. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. I invite you to worship with us in person at Carson City United Methodist Church. We are located at 119 East Elm Street in Carson City, Michigan, or you can find us right behind the BP gas station off of Main Street. Our worship times are at 8:30, 10 o'clock, and 11:15. This has been Pastor Andy Kroll, and I'm going to turn it over to Rory Miller and Denkman to take us on home.